Welcome back to the Mind of Monty podcast with your host, Monty G, and I, Mo. Today, we've got a fun episode for you. Let's get right into it, shall we?
Yeah, we got a Big Four pay-per-view to run through and obviously some news updates since the last time. Also, before we even get into that, I want to formally go ahead and say that the show will be bi-weekly. I hope we didn't confuse you all too much. But I'm going to try to get one out every other week. I think that'll be the best way to approach this with our schedules, but also with just handling the baby and trying to get these out. I think that'll probably be the best way to do it. I also think it gives plenty of time for me to have to come up with concepts and stuff to talk about, whether it's classic reviews or whatever it is that I need to do. But honestly, so much stuff going on every other week, basically, in wrestling that I don't necessarily know if I'm going to be searching for much content because it's stuff that I'm not even going to talk about right now that I could talk about. That's just how active it was. But, yeah, let's get right into it. The Royal Rumble, one of the biggest shows of the year, always one of our favorite shows. We didn't go to this one.
We did not. We just went last year. We could have gone.
Yeah.
We could have.
Could have, would have, should have. But, yeah, man, they had a fantastic event. You know, one of the shortest cards in WWE in a long time. But it ended up still being about 3 hours, 4 hours. So they know how to pad time.
Each Rumble was at least an hour. You know, Roman's entrance takes forever.
Yeah.
Forever. They got to get their advertiser money off.
Right, but anyway, speaking of the Rumble, first
we had the Women's Royal Rumble match. We had a bunch of good surprises with Naomi. I was about to call her Trinity. With Naomi Trinity coming works. In number two, we got Jordynne Grace coming in also, and then
I think she was five. But yeah, a lot of great surprises in the Women's Royal Rumble. Jade Cargill, obviously. Got headlines, as deservedly so, as she came in and wiped out Nia Jax, who was dominant. You know, it's a lot of great moments throughout, honestly. Even people like, you know, it was a lot of good moments when people like Becky Lynch was in there and come to find out she only eliminated like one person. I think it was like...
She felt like she was on a hot streak.
She pushed off Chelsea, I believe it was. That was about it. She didn't even do anything, but it was great. It was great. Bayley, obviously... ended up being the Iron Woman after, you know, Naomi did a great run, had a good run at being the Iron Woman also because she was in there a long time. Natty and Jordynne Grace had great moments. Jordynne Grace looked like she belonged. I don't think anyone who ever knew anything about her before her showing up here, I don't think anyone thought that she wouldn't fit right in. But, yeah, man, I really hope that Triple H lets Natty or lets WWE go to TNA or let more just work a little bit more with Impact, whether they decide to do it or not. I mean, we know it's WWE, so the likelihood is not. They've done this before when it comes to the Women's Rumble. But, you know, even if it just becomes a Rumble tradition to get the Impact Women's Champion or something.
It's
a plus. She added a lot to the match, and it was great to see her. You know, thankfully, the Sasha Banks / Mercedes stuff should at least die down when it comes to WWE because she did not show up. Liv Morgan returned.
Oh, yeah, number 30.
Great to see her there at the end, even though she wasn't in there much long because the match was pretty much wrapping down. I think that final six was a nice little shot into the future with, like, Bianca, Jade, Tiffany Stratton, I think Bayley, I think Naomi was still in there. So, yeah, it was a nice little nice little strong final with Liv included, you know, in that final mix. Who can win? Liv Morgan being the runner-up again. So, eventually, she's probably going to win it, you would hope, I guess. Or she, you know, she say this year will be her year. I guess we'll have to wait that out and see. But it was not to be. It was Bayley's time. I think they made the right decision there with Bayley. Also, I forgot to mention, like I said, great moments. Kyrie. Some people think it was a botch. I don't know. It was still fun, whether it was a botch or not. Mm-hmm. Kyrie's elimination, just the memes that's came from that. And, you know, I really think she's been doing an awesome job. It's the little things that Kyrie does all the time that just kind of make you chuckle, make you smile. She's great, always has been. And, yeah, man, I can't say anything bad about it. It's probably the greatest women's Rumble I've ever seen, or at least one of, you know. Even if it didn't have, like, legends returned, it had enough surprises, enough feel-good moments to make you be like, oh, no, it was awesome. Like, Chelsea Green spots.
Oh, yeah.
Funny stuff. Very, very funny stuff. Continuing to get squashed by her own partner. And, you know, again, even – and I think she survived, ended up lasting longer than Piper, even with all of that being said. The R-Truth spot running down there at 24 – come to find out later, he was also 24 in the Men's Royal Rumble, but I guess he was confused. Came out during Valhalla's entrance and got her eliminated within seconds. That was cool. So,
which was the fastest, yes?
Yeah, definitely the fastest in the Women's Rumble. But yeah, man, it was awesome. You know, Bayley broke Rhea Ripley's record for Iron Woman. So it was really, really good stuff. Like I said, the right person. Honestly, you can make the case.
At the right time.
You can make the case that maybe you could have swooped in for Jade because that's just how great she looked. Or you can make the case for others, Liv Morgan, because of her Rhea Ripley history. You know, Bianca's always a great choice, but Bayley's, in my opinion, it's her time. You know, it's one of the things that she hasn't done. She's been great for so long. She was a women's champion. I think honestly, even with Drew. Who did great stuff after the Rumble, but also during the Rumble. But Drew McIntyre was a guy who was WWE champion in the pandemic when Roman went away, before Roman kind of came back much later. You know, guys like Drew, girls like Oscar, girls like Bayley, they carried WWE television when there was no one around. You know, so I think Bayley getting her flowers, finally getting her moment to possibly main event, or, you know, be one of the centerpiece matches at WrestleMania. It's awesome. And I think it's the right move. And I think at the end of the day, the story that can be told with Damage Control or Rhea, but I believe Damage Control is probably the way to go. They've been kind of pushing, giving her the cold shoulder, even in the Rumble match. Asuka was acting like she's going to high-five her and just kind of, you know, cold shoulder her away. She's been getting the shaft. I don't know what is it going to take for her to see that she's the odd woman out. I think if it's one thing about the unfortunate thing that Triple H couldn't get Mercedes back is that to put a bow on this story, Mercedes or Sasha would be perfect because she would be an actual real friend, someone who could tell Bayley or come to Bayley's aid. But without her, it makes you wonder how are they going to choose to go about letting Bayley realize, is she just gonna get beat up when she decides to go after EO? What is gonna be the thing? I can't wait to see on the newest episode of SmackDown. What do they decide to do? Do they keep teasing it, whether it's Rhea and Bayley? Because on Raw, they kind of left it open ended, and she seemed to be intimidated by Nia, who surprisingly is an Aussie. A lot of people were surprised. I'm surprised too. I did not know she was born in Australia. Nia Jax. So it sets up a great match with her and Rhea. For Australia, the Elimination Chamber, if they don't do a Raw, if they don't force them all into the chamber on Raw anyway for women. But I think Rhea versus Nia might even be the main event. Australian main event with women. Who knows? Because Roman won't be there. And the World Heavyweight Champion's hurt. So, yeah. Interesting. We can't wait to see what happens.
And I agree. And shout out to Naomi for breaking the record for total accumulated time in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, all time. Yeah,
all time. Yeah, I love to see it.
Yeah, she's just great, dependable, and I hope this time in this run they realize what they have in Naomi. Mm-hmm. I think as great as her title runs have been, I think we know that she could have been even more of the focus. I hope she don't get taken for granted. And yeah, man. I think it's going to be good. I can't wait. She said she don't know what the hell she's going to do with Jade. I think that's a great sentiment because I agree. Like, what the hell any woman on that roster is going to do with Jade? Bianca versus Jade, WrestleMania possibly. Bianca and Jade teaming up to fight Asuka and Kyrie maybe. Who knows? Like, it's interesting times in WWE's women's division. Even, and I think at the end of the day, no matter what Mercedes does, AEW stay going worldwide or just traveling, doing her thing. I think the women's division is not lacking. And I don't think that's a shot at Sasha or anything. I just think they're doing well, both sides.
I agree.
Yeah.
Next up, we had Roman versus Randy versus LA Knight. Oh, Jesus. Versus AJ Styles, a bunch of old guys.
You sounded old with that not being able to get them names out in one breath.
I know.
So you can't really make that.
I can't anyway, say a bunch of old
and
guys.
Then you say Randy. Like, who knows? This could be any. It could be a new guy named Randy Johnson. We don't know. Randy, nah, say
there's
Randy
only
Orton.
Two Randys, and one of them is no longer with us.
Yeah, that we know of. It could have been one young upstart. Who knows? You know, maybe the viewer didn't watch the Royal Rumble. Anyway, Randy, the listener, didn't watch
Randy
the Royal Rumble.
Randy Orton.
But Randy Orton, LA Knight, AJ. It was a great match, man. I had fun with it. I saw some people killing it. It's only one part of the match, in my opinion, of the four-way that was not the best, and that was Solo's interference. And that has nothing to do with Solo. It's just like you just mentioned. He's always interfering. Fatal four-way, I don't even think, have legitimate rules. So he could have just – he didn't need the sweater. It wasn't a shock. We know who it is. Like the tweet said, I thought that was a great tweet. But, yeah, man, I'm starting to agree with the internet about Street Champ Solo versus Bloodline Solo. And just how much better he was when he was allowed to be himself. I think we should be patient. I think once he dethrones Roman or once whatever happens with the Bloodline happens, he can hopefully slowly but surely allow to be more like his brothers, because he's the same. He's of that same ilk. He's way more, let's say, intimidating with his approach. You know, he's more, way more about that action. He's not as funny as Jimmy, and he's not as, I guess, I think that's really the difference. Jimmy is, like, hilarious, but great. But Jay is cool as hell and has an intense side of him that he showed when he was a heel. And I think kind of, like, you get that intensity side with Solo. But he also can, you know, go there, too, because, they're of the same ilk. And I think that's kind of just been stifled a little bit when you're trying to just make him a enforcer. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think that, as a matter of fact, I think it tells the story better with him and Roman. Like, you know, Roman has muzzled this guy, tried to, you know, he's kind of halted what he could be, you know, especially if you compare what he was in NXT when he was on his own. But anyway, that's besides the point. That has nothing really to do with the Fatal 4-Way. The 4-Way was fun to me. I had a really good time. I love Roman getting a chance taking everyone's finishers. I love how over LA Knight still is, despite, you know, not really no one believing he could actually take Roman's belt. The people's love for chanting his name and doing the yeah and all of that, I think it's awesome. I think AJ Styles' timing was great in this match. You know, just seeing him do the Styles Clash on a big guy like Roman is always going to be cool to see. And, of course, Randy is just – he's Randy, man. He's still smooth as ever. And the RKO is always going to get people off their feet. So when he hit that RKO, when Roman was about to Superman punch or spear, I don't know exactly what he was going for, but he got RKO'd out of the air. Perfect timing. Again, I understand why people didn't like that Solo spot, but if you say the match was boring or if you say the match was bad, it's only because you checked out because you knew Roman would win. Mm-hmm. I think this was the best match of Roman's reign in a while, and the reason why it's the best match is because it's the first time that you could actually entertain a threat of someone else taking the belt, even if you knew at the end of the day what the most likely outcome is. If you let that take away from you, the enjoyment of the work that the guys actually put in, then that's on you. I actually appreciated what everyone tried to do, and I thought it was a really good match, a fun story, and no one looked bad. So this was good.
I agree. I didn't watch the match in its entirety, but I got a little bits and pieces. But if knowing the ending of something is going to deter you from enjoying the ride, then it's not really –
You're not going to like anything until he fight Cody or whatever, or until he fights
just Mania, in general, whatever. Because you don't do that with movies. You don't do that with books. Like, you can know what the ending is. And you're like, okay, I'm going to watch it. And I'm going to enjoy the ride. And I think it was enjoyable.
It depends. Like, I think the distaste for it is just the fact that they feel like everyone knows the result. And it can take away. I get that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but you're 100% right. I still also believe you can get enjoyment out of something, even if you know it's a high chance that Roman is going to retain.
I agree.
I mean, it's a lot of world champions throughout the history, like John Cena. And people hated him, but I'm just saying you can list top guys, and you can always be like, anytime Austin was fighting back in the day, you almost assume Austin was going to win. It makes it so much better when he finally loses. But I do understand the sentiment.
I agree.
What's next?
Next we had Logan Paul.
Why you say it like that?
Because my brain wants to say Jake, and then you're going to keep correcting me. But Logan Paul.
It does matter.
It doesn't. They're the same person.
Jake doesn't wrestle. But okay, go ahead.
Does he, though?
He don't wrestle.
Same thing. Versus Kevin Owens.
Right. Kevin Owens wrestled this match with a fractured foot. He's just unbelievable. That's all I got to say about Kevin, man. He carried Logan to a really solid match. It's funny they said, I think Logan Paul on his podcast said Paul Heyman told him to follow that motherfucker, basically following the Fatal 4-Way. I think they did good. I think you can make a case they had a better match than the 4-Way. So, I think they followed well. By the way, Logan Paul did a great job of following the veteran Kevin Owens to a really compelling match. Even in this match had interference. I didn't hear a lot of the mumbo jumbo. Every match Logan Paul has had, some random guy in his entourage come helps. So, you know, where's that hate at? You know, I saw people telling me Logan Paul gave a great performance. No one talking about, you know, his interference. But, yeah, they tried to use brass knuckles, the same thing Logan Paul used to take the belt off Ray, I believe. I believe that's what it was. And Kevin Owens obviously hit him with him. And magically, the referee can see brass knuckles on your finger. He didn't see him get hit, but he saw the brass knuckles still on Kevin's hand.
The shiny shine.
Yeah, magically in between his count. So, you know, the old school wrestling fan in me is like, come on. The refs never catch anything. Right. They're blind. They never catch anything.
They got stigmatism.
But this ref did. Great job. Just like Red Shoes, I guess. Just like Red Shoes. Greatest ref ever sometimes. But, yeah, man, it was a creative way to get the DQ. It was still a DQ, though, so I'm not going to give you props. You know, as a matter of fact, I think it's not better than the 4-Way because it was a DQ. So, Paul Heyman, that ain't fair, man. They finished with a DQ. How they going to follow that? I think the next time they fight, if Kevin and Logan is the move for WrestleMania, Kevin's going to take the belt.
But, I agree.
Yeah, good stuff. And, man, fighting with a fractured foot, these wrestlers are way tougher than I ever imagined.
Way, way too tough. Tougher than me. Last match of the night, we've got the Men's Royal Rumble. Again, it was just a good time. Very fun. Hold on, my nose ran. Very fun and enjoyable time. We got Gunther still trying to stick it out there until the very end, but ultimately we got the first man to do back-to-back Royal Rumble wins since Stone Cold Steve Austin in the 90s.
26 years ago, to be exact.
So 98?
Yeah.
God, I feel old. Okay, that is the, like, 99% of my lifespan.
Yeah. Anyway, you didn't have to even tell him who won.
Let me get my spiel out, man.
Cody Rhodes won the Royal Rumble again, as he should have won it. I heard other pitches like CM Punk and even Gunther, of course. But, you know, this has to be done. I love how after he won, he pointed basically right at Roman. They put the camera on Roman. Roman was disappointed. Roman was selling it masterfully, how annoyed he was that Cody survived. So I love how much he did that, and I just love how Cody from the jump. Now, of course, on Raw, Seth Rollins was like, nah, man, screw Roman. He's never here. I'm the guy now. Fight me. But I think everybody knows what's really going to happen. There's no way Cody going to not fight Roman.
Gotta finish that story.
Yeah, man. It's not, you know, he beat you twice. He beat you twice. You know, at the end of the day, he beat you twice. So, you know, as fun as that may be, because I do think Cody himself would have another fun match, probably another fun feud. Yeah, man, Roman and Cody is the way to go. Congrats to Cody. I saw people hating on this match because of the lack of surprises, but really, you know, every Royal Rumble don't have to have a legend coming back or a new debut. They had some NXT guys. They had the Bron Breakker, who apparently was replacing Nasty Man 2. I'll get into that in a second. Or Nasty Man Jr. Bron was impressive. Melo had fun, had good moments. So, you know, much like earlier, I forgot to mention earlier in the Women's Royal Rumble, Roxanne was also there along with Tiffany Stratton. So, again, it was very, very cool to see some of the new faces get in, even though Roxanne, I think this is her second Royal Rumble, because she was there when we were there. So,
she was.
So, yeah. This was good. I understood why people had something to say about it, but I saw people say it was boring. Maybe I just can't be bored by Royal Rumbles, but I enjoyed it. I love the little stories. A lot of stuff got advanced, like the Carlito Santos, Bobby and Cross. You know, it was cool. Really, really cool. It, you know, could it have been better, maybe? Sure. But I think it was just a long show. I think people were... If you watched it all in one sitting, you're trying to stretch a it's four matches, you expect it to go by fast, and then we're sitting here 4 hours later and it's still going on. That's what I really think happened. But, yeah, man, so the Royal Rumble was cool, but leading up to the Royal Rumble, just kind of very, very perfectly right in front of it. If you remember back,
right before.
We weren't potting then, but right before World's End, AEW ran into some trouble with some Jericho allegations and he got killed, rightly so, and we don't know what's true, what's not. NDAs was all about. There's all types of stuff happened, but that was right before that show, and it put a cloud over it. And I think even though the Royal Rumble was fun, whether anybody wanted to admit it or not, you used the Royal Rumble to try to escape the cloud that was Vince McMahon.
Yeah, his recent lawsuit from, we'll say, his partner, from 2019.
I don't think we should even say that.
That's fair.
She's just an employee.
A former employee.
Yeah. I wouldn't even go that far.
From 2019 to 2021, the details cite. It's a lawsuit. It's in graphic detail of the different forced sexual encounters that she had to undergo. And then this gift-giving...
Yeah.
That tried to, like, I guess...
Sex trafficking is also the term that we were getting. And if you want to, like, the details, he basically was passing this woman around to people. Accusatory. She was accusing him of passing him around for contract negotiations to a particular person, which the person I call Nasty Man Jr. earlier.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar is the who the rumors are saying. Again,
no one is allegedly, naming names.
Allegedly, that's what everyone is trying to allegedly. Say, because she did say UFC fighter. All this is alleged. This is lawsuit talk. Not going to get into the nasty detail, because trust me, they are nasty. The text messages are nasty, are graphic. At the end of the day, Vince McMahon also put out a statement and basically said he was done.
This allegation... lawsuit ended up with TKO and Vince McMahon parting ways, officially in all ways that
hopefully for good this time.
Hopefully, he can't come in and try to sell the company now,
right? It's already sold, so hopefully, he can't, you know, weasel his way back on the board this time. You know, he says he's gonna fight it. These are, you know,
please don't. Just go away.
I would say the statement, his these. Allegations are, you know, replete.
He repleted, and it's not the right word.
Whatever word he used, but anyway,
I don't think that's right.
Anyway, the point is, he says that these are just false. Of course, he says that, or his spokesperson say that, or whatever it is. But John Laurinaitis, his second in command, Johnny Ace, was also involved. So it's just the inner circle. It was a group chat, so it's possibly even more people. Who who knew about this type of stuff. So it was just bad. It was bad, bad all around. And it's basically kind of like what people initially thought. We probably talked about it a little bit on the podcast a season ago about how what Vince was accused of and the whole, you know, paying people, women off and all that type of stuff. Well, we were under the understanding, like you mentioned earlier, that it was probably a partner or like a mistress. If you look at the details of this, this is not just mistress behavior. This is, you know, very, very nasty stuff with an employee. So, again, Triple H, after the show, handled everything as about as poor as you possibly can.
Yeah.
That he was asked three different times, basically. And they tried to get give Triple H a chance to at least just do like what the Bella Twins did and say that, you know, we're all about female safety or employee safety and all of that. And he wasn't having it. He just wanted to focus on the positives. And, you know, again, I made sure that when I initially saw the tweets, I was very aggravated. The same way I was aggravated with Tony, with his handle, the way he handled the press conference that he had, you know, sitting there with the glasses and the stuff on his head and just looking like a fool while we talking about serious business. And, of course, saying stuff like AEW is the safest it's ever been, even though earlier that year he was talking about his life was threatened.
Yeah.
Crazy, right? But Triple H was no better. He better off saying no comment, and that's my point. Because when you try to focus on the positives, or when you try to talk about the Netflix deal and say this is a great week, now you got headlines saying Triple H says a week where Vince McMahon is accused of sex trafficking is a great week or something. Now you got stuff like that. So again, you just better off saying you don't want to talk about it, no comment. You know, I'm not saying what Triple H knew or didn't know, even though the way everything sounded like the board knew something when he voted himself back on. As a matter of fact, I think it was later reported that someone knew that he was a liability. So at the very least, if they didn't know the details, they knew Vince was a liability, that this stuff could come back. So, yeah, man, at the end of the day, good riddance, Vince. I think, like I said, I'm going to refer to him as Nasty Man. Nasty Man Jr., we don't need to see you again. At first I thought he was going to, as a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure he was going to return in the Royal Rumble for WrestleMania season like he tends to do at this stage of his career. But Nasty Man 2, you've done everything you need to do. Trust me, he was just as involved. He knew about it. It's the reason why he walked out and was angry when Vince McMahon first announced his retirement on SmackDown. So, yeah, man, anyone who was involved in it, you know, I hope they all get taken down. I hope they all lose their job, possibly face jail time, whatever it is. I'm not crazy. I know how the system works. Vince may not ever spend one night in jail. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you know, his reputation, his legacy, all of that has been tarnished. I think he's on the list with Chris Benoit right now when it comes to WWE. Like, those are names that you don't say in WWE anymore. So I feel like that's well deserved if they're gonna go ahead and do that. Even if I know public, or even if I know probably silently, people are gonna still have involvement. I mean, come on, man, that's Triple H's father-in-law. So I'm not saying he's never gonna see him again, never talk to him. He's never gonna have any involvement whatsoever. But you know, publicly and as far as like his reputation, yeah, man, you know, he can go and just go away. He got his money. Go away, man. You know, fight your case. But with those allegations, we don't need to see him again. No one needs to be celebrating him again. All of that stuff. I thought it was tasteless the last time they tried to give him a send off. This time, you know, no. We're just like, nah, go away.
Please stop.
And the fact it makes sense though, because if you really think about it, he was with The Rock and who joined the board. This past week. So that was another big deal that Triple H rather focused on than his father-in-law. But Vince was right there on Wall Street with those guys at TKO.
Oh yeah.
So he was still still walking around, showing up at UFC events as if nothing happened. So hopefully now he's probably still gonna do what he wanna do. He's a billionaire. But the point is the state of public opinion on Vince is keep that old fart away from us.
Right.
So, yeah, man, I could go even harder if I wanted to, but honestly, I don't really want to spend too much more time on it. I mean, I think Everything I'm saying has probably been said to death, and I probably, on the Dubinar, when I get asked about it on the other podcast, I'm probably going to have to talk even more, so I'm probably going to come up with something else to say. But really, at the end of the day, man, just please, you know, protect women in the workplace, protect women, your loved ones, sisters, mothers, daughters. You know, I have a young daughter now, so I'm really, really, really sensitive to this type of stuff. You know, just love the women in your life, hold them tight, and, you know, do whatever you can to protect them and listen to them, please. Like, take them for their word when something is being, you know, said, whether it's an accusation or not. You know, and just at the end of the day, we want safe working environments, whether it's wrestling, whether it's just in general. We want women to be safe, you know, and the fact that there's so many people getting taken advantage of in general, in business or just in a workplace, it's sad. It's fucking sad. So, yeah, man, I just wish everybody out there the best. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your loved ones. And, you know, you as a woman, I know that you also could be extra sensitive. Well, not just sensitive to this, but I can only imagine what anyone who have been through that before, and then they wrestling was their safe place, or WWE was their safe place. And then this guy.
Yeah, to find out that.
Is literally. And then Triple H can't even give you a Cody Rhodes answer. Like I said, Cody Rhodes right before that gave a great answer about being a family and what they try to do backstage and what they want to do going forward. And when Triple H was asked what he would do going forward, all he could say was everything possible. The Vegas thing possible. Now, again, so I know he can't go in detail. I know he can't go in detail because it's an ongoing lawsuit. I'm not asking for anything other than him to say that we as a company is doing all we can to protect everyone and our women as a company, and at least give some details about what you want to do going forward.
I agree. It's just disappointing in general. Being a female wrestling fan is hard. It's hard as it is.
Yeah.
And I know there are bad people or there are like nasty people in this world, but it's like there really is no safe haven.
Right. It's tough.
And it's just the one word that just continues to pop up in my mind is just disappointing.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Well, yeah, that's all we're going to spend on Nasty Man, Nasty Man Jr., Nasty Man the Third, Nasty Man, whoever else. Well, yeah, we're going to leave Nasty Man alone.
And she agrees.
Edie don't want to talk about the Nasty Man
like,
either.
Let's move on.
So, yeah, man, next we're going to get into the Netflix deal.
Big news in wrestling, everyone. Now, WWE, Raw, and all premium live events from SmackDown, NXT, and old WWE content will now be on Netflix starting January of 2025.
Yeah, it's very exciting news, to be honest. Apparently, also, the like you mentioned, not only is the future live events. This will be going on in 2025 when a lot of this will be finally taking place. But Raw is done with NBCU in October. So it's up in the air on where Raw will be in November through December until Netflix. So I'd be interested to see what they decide to do with that little free period right there. But we all know in October, SmackDown will be moving to USA Network for its live shows. And for the first time in 31 years, Raw will not be on linear television. I've been hearing that term a lot more lately. So it just lets you know that this is a big deal. This is like the first of many, like we see it with football game. We had a freaking playoff game. I was about to say something else, but we had a playoff game on Peacock. That they paid millions of bucks for. So Peacock paid millions of bucks for one playoff game. So this is not going to be the first live sporting event or just live type of deal that is going to be moved to streaming services. It's just, again, I think it's a huge deal. It they did it for $5 billion. I would have accepted that too. And I don't think as many TV companies that when they tell you Netflix, if they, you know, when you're at the negotiating table, you probably shouldn't share anything. But I like, let's say USA or NBC was like, we'll give you $2 billion to keep it on our shows. And I can imagine Nick Khan and whoever else negotiating laughing like, man, no, Netflix just offered me $5 billion. Match that. So, no, this is insane. It's great, though, and I think it's awesome for also just in, for not only just for wrestling, but in general, I think other wrestling companies, even if they don't pull the numbers that WWE get, can now start to – now you're just opening up them options. So either your television companies, let's say, for instance, Impact, Access TV. Access TV might have to offer a little bit more now because other streaming companies may want that Impact library. Or whatever, because they're part of TKO too. So you know, TKO could be like, how about you get UFC and the Netflix? Like even when ESPN is done with UFC, I guarantee you, after making this type of money with WWE, TKO is gonna shop UFC to Netflix.
Oh, of course.
You know, so it's gonna be very, very interesting to see how things play out in the next few years. Because I think we kind of mentioned that. Before we started to record this, that, you know, the future of television,
yeah,
it has to be in question now.
It's pretty bleak. With viewership and the different shows that have been canceled, it's difficult to obtain and keep viewers on like live television. So it looks like with everything, it's starting to move forward towards streaming. Which is a good thing to have for wrestling and for sports in general. Not a good thing for our wallets, not a good thing for me emotionally, yeah, because I've been very hesitant to get a Netflix subscription.
Right, very interesting point. Like, all non-wrestling fans, I'm sorry, because you're about to have to pay a little bit more for either that ad-free section of Netflix or even the tier that has ads is probably going to go up a few bucks because they've already mentioned that they're going to ask the viewers to give a little bit more as they continue to upgrade Netflix. So if you're someone who don't care, but, you know, you mentioned also before that, you know, a great point that I didn't think about, what'd you say about your coworkers?
Yeah, so I was, you know, moping yesterday, and I kind of brought up how my coworkers were saying, oh, I remember insert old wrestler here, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Someone said Goldberg, and I told her I judged her a little bit for that. Were prominent figures of their childhood, and now they have the service, Netflix, to go to, and they'll go back and look at those old shows that they watched with their parents and
yeah,
get nostalgic.
Accessibility internationally, man. I got, you know, the crew for the WNR. A lot of them are really happy to get Raw on Netflix, get WWE shows, the live events on Netflix. You know, it's just going to be more accessible internationally. It's going to be more accessible in general, you know. Then for the longest, the WWE Network has had to stay alive for worldwide fans, but Peacock has been our option, and, you know, again, it's been up and down with that. You know, some people, I don't really mind Peacock, but, you know, if you're gonna make me go through, at least one thing I will say about that is that if we're gonna do this anyway, it's not gonna be an all wrestling streaming service like it was. Then I can't complain with having like Netflix be the option for the other content you decide to watch in between wrestling if you're not going straight to the wrestling section or something like that. Because there's a couple of things that, you know, you mentioned we both tried to stay away, but they've also tried to cater to us. You know, that One Piece live action I've been hearing a lot about. I probably won't watch it until I get deeper into the actual anime. But, you know, it's an option. I've seen all of Yu Yu Hakusho's anime, so I could check out that live action. I could see if Cowboy Bebop's live action was as bad as they said.
And then Avatar The Last Airbender's live action is also coming.
It's plenty of stuff. Yeah, it's all types of stuff. And Netflix is always adding things. And like you mentioned, in Korean dramas for you and just all types of stuff. So, you know, stand-up comedy. This is what they do. They get into these different fandoms, different groups, and they try to make stuff that caters to these people so they can get, you know, make give more content that more people could, you know, gravitate towards. And, you know, kudos to them. It's a big deal. I have no problem with it. I feel like I should have had the foresight, but, again, it's not for me to really see coming. It just makes sense, and I think this is the future. A lot of things now, you know, just in general, we're going to just linear television in general is probably in trouble because of stuff like this. So, yeah, man, I think it's a big deal. I'm happy that the ratings war is over, you know, or at least most of it, even though we know it's still going to exist to an extent between maybe SmackDown and, you know, stuff. But now Dynamite, you know, now Raw, we won't even know what their ratings are. Netflix barely release information in general. I'm pretty sure we'll get some blanket like, oh, Raw is the most watched whatever this week or something. But
it's going like, to be something arbitrary.
Yeah, it's top 10 on the Netflix list or whatever. Yeah, or so
top 10 in the live section of the Netflix. Like, come on, like Netflix. It's not that many live.
But that might be different by next year.
It might be.
Because I think they're going to try to add more. But, yeah, man, at the end of the day, it's cool. It's really cool. And I'm not gonna act like I'm against it, but I'm not jumping for joy either, but I'm not mad at it either. It's one of those things I'm kind of in the middle on, and again, I'm excited for the company though, and I think this is one of those things when you're making certain moves like this, and then they're trying to slowly make other changes that we can talk about another time. But I can't wait to see what happens, man. And this is just the beginning of the year. So imagine what's going to happen as we continue on. So, yeah, what's next? What else we want to talk about?
I agree. The next topic we have is basically surrounding Cody Rhodes and all of this talk that he did all of 2023 about finishing the story. Triple H does not give a rat's behind about him finishing this story, allegedly. There's no plans for Cody Rhodes to be headlining WrestleMania or finishing the story at WrestleMania. Now, that doesn't mean he won't finish the story at all, but it definitely won't be at WrestleMania, allegedly.
Yeah, and I only included that. I'm glad you read it that way because you kind of read it in a way that the internet took it. And I just want to let everybody know this is going to be really insensitive because I shout out to everybody who lost their job from Sports Illustrated and all that type of stuff that's messed up. I'm not taking any shots at any of you people. But, man, I shouldn't read this article when I find out y'all out of business. I shouldn't hear nothing about this.
Why? Because you can see how they. Because
it's bull jive. Oh. Yeah, exactly. You can see why Sports Illustrated is a figment of the past. No, I don't want to say. I don't want to be disrespectful, but the point is, man, the multiple sources close to the WWE creative, it just sounds crazy. Who do you think Triple H is talking to that extent at this point about what's going to happen at Mania? For example, Seth Rollins just tore his meniscus and barely almost dodged a bullet. He dodged a bullet by not tearing his MCL that bad. Okay, you could try to say that, but still, I don't believe he's even talking to him about what's going to happen months down the line. Like, my point is what I was about to say about Seth Rollins is just before Jinder Mahal's match, his world champion was healthy.
Uh-huh.
So, let's knock on whatever we need to knock on, but let's just say something crazy happened Saturday. Is Cody Rhodes still not finishing the story? Like, you don't know. That's my point. I'm saying you don't know. So I refuse, and even if he is one of those people who is booking ahead of time, I just refuse to believe that to this extent he's told other people that Cody will not be finishing the story. And it really has swayed people because I think even Vegas are putting Gunther and others as odds on because later on in the article it said when we're moving towards CM Punk versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania and then CM Punk versus Cody at WrestleMania and Seth Rollins versus Gunther, which I guess is leaving it open for Dwayne and Roman, if you want to say that. But my thing is about that is, it sounds like to me you really just loved Raw the other day. whoever wrote this.
Very recency bias. You're just going through and seeing.
You really enjoy Raw.
What the high points were from the show and kind of setting yourself up.
You fail for the build. Like, Triple H did a good job of showing you many different options. For example, I guess you think Nia Jax and Becky is going to fight at WrestleMania now.
Just, no, we still or whatever. Time.
You don't know. I mean, maybe they do, but I doubt it. But, yeah, I'm just saying, exactly. We still have so much time. Anywhere else, people can be rational. But when it comes to Cody, because everybody wants to make a meme out of Cody, all these AEW fans want to laugh at Cody because they feel like if he don't finish the story in their mind anytime soon, then, you know, he looks like a fool for coming back. I saw, of course, you've seen the video of Triple H Never Forget. So they got a video of Cody breaking the throne as if no one remembered that except the few AEW people who care about stuff like that. But whatever. That's besides the point. My whole thing is that I don't necessarily know. I'm not trying to say that what they're saying is going to be not true completely, because Gunther winning the Royal Rumble is not far-fetched. Punk versus Cody would be entertaining in its own right. I just don't know if this would be the time for it. I just don't understand. I feel like you got all this history. If Seth Rollins is going to fight at WrestleMania, Seth Rollins should fight CM Punk. Not saying CM Punk should win the title. Just saying, that's who he should be fighting in that main event with. They both want a main event one-on-one match. You could give them what they want, get that out of the way, book it however you want to book it, and we can move on from that. And out three different people can finish their story. We can just get this story crap out of the way so we can actually move on to telling other stories. Just feels like it'd be smart to go ahead and let Cody fight Roman, whether he wins or lose. And however you want to do it. Now, he shouldn't lose, of course, if he want to finish it. But my point is just I don't see it. The way The Rock was talking to me, other people heard Cody's going to lose it, and then The Rock is going to come back, and they're going to fight next year. Some people heard, like I heard, that it sounds like The Rock won't be ready till next year. Mm-hmm. Either way it goes, I just don't understand why everyone, again, unless you're one of those people who want Roman to keep the belt, for a certain time, then that's fine. Those people I'm not necessarily even talking to. But for people who understand what's going on, depending on whatever you want, if you want Cody to win the title, if you don't want him to win the title, what makes sense is that at the end of the day, he would not be talking to sources close to him so they could talk to Sports Illustrated out of nowhere. Not saying Sports Illustrated isn't credible or whatever. You know what I mean? They're some of the goats in media. But I'm just not buying it. I've never was buying it. So guess what happens not too long later, hours later, regarding the Sports Illustrated WrestleMania 40 report. And after speaking to a few other contacts, those three matches could happen in Philadelphia. However, when Sports Illustrated says set in stone, that is the part that seems a little naive. They said WWE and Triple H is not happy about the report in general, especially saying people close to Triple H said it, as if he would be open about that specific information. And that's literally word for word what I literally thought when I first heard it. I'm just like, who told who that? It's just like this other rumor recently about where Mercedes was training and all of this, and she's with Tyler Breeze. So, and I think Bayley's also with Tyler Breeze, so maybe she's showing up. So no Dynamite tonight, and maybe she shows up here, shows up there. Come on, man. Y'all, even if the tweet said that your group chat said that, then who in the group chat is talking then? Give me that detail, too. Who is sharing group chat information with Twitter or with the internet? You know what I mean? Like, the dirt sheets around this time is great and as exciting as wrestling is in the early part of the year. It's beautiful. WrestleMania brings out the best, also brings out the craziness of the wrestling community. I get it. But, man, wrestling media, bro. I know I brought this up in my comeback podcast. I brought that up more than I brought up the fact that we're going to be bi-weekly. But seriously, like, we got to relax, man. I think, you know the guy who do the theme music? Forgot his name, but he raps and stuff.
Josiah,
there we go. I was looking for him. And he had a great quote. Like, wrestling was just so much better when we just let it surprise us. When people stop looking for spoilers, stop looking for dirt sheets. And I mentioned that personally last week, but I really, really wanted to make sure I mentioned that again. Because that's basically where I'm coming from with this. Whatever happens, if we end up getting these two matches, I promise you, I'm not going to take anything back. Because, like I said, it could happen. But what I'm trying to say is that this whole, he won't do this, this won't happen this way. Okay, whatever, man. Can we just watch the wrestling? Can we just see how things play out? Yeah, that's it. I just want people to start understanding that. And what I don't like about it is everything is so loud this time of year about WWE. And not so much about booking situations when it comes to AEW. And I'm not saying I want more for them. I like it that way, but that's my point. Like, you hear more about the backstage, who he might be leaving. Oh, man, they fighting. You hear about that stuff at AEW. But you don't hear about Tony is probably going to book it this way. Mm-hmm. But for some reason with Triple H, we're probably going to go this route. And it's mainstream art. And I think this is coming from places like ESPN, places like Sports Illustrated. Not to say they're not justified, but we have these departments now of these media companies that's only dedicated to wrestling. And what I told you about before, we talked about it in music. We talked about it in general with just social media. When you're working for media and you don't have anything else to talk about, now it's time to speculate.
Yeah.
Now it's time to reiterate all the information we have on something. Even though we have no new information. Let's just reiterate it, put it out there, and then now every outlet out there is going to reshare this post as if it's true or as if it's the same. Another one. I didn't even want to bring this up as a topic. But Kazuchika Okada, I saw it was a rumor that he would be starting in NXT. They said sources close to New Japan, top talent in New Japan, says he's WWE bound. Well, guess what happened later on that day? You had people saying that, no, even people in WWE, like, this is news to me. And this whole NXT and WWE Brown's a little premature.
So they're projecting, and if they say it and they are turned out,
they're going to give it. They want the clicks.
No, but if they turn out to be right and they just guess later on, it's like, oh, they had the insider scoop when you really just guessing.
Exactly. It's like Mercedes, another topic again. I heard some people I consider very credible come out and legitimately basically say everything, but I guarantee she's going to be in AEW. And then you heard other people come out, jump on that and say, well, you know, anything could happen. She's still negotiating. Or, yeah, man, I haven't heard her negotiate with WWE, but this could be a final hour type of thing. Hey, man, let it be what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. We're going to be happy for Mercedes wherever she go. Mm-hmm. Let it be what it's going to be. All right, I'm off my soapbox on that. All right, guys, see you guys next week. The week after next. Yeah, we're bi-weekly now. See you guys when we see you. Thanks for listening. Adios.